to the Nifty Podcast presented by Party Fish Media, a showcase of the best emerging filmmakers under the age of 25 from all over the world. Film starts here at Nifty 2023 in Seattle, Washington. Hi, we're here with Janae Kelly. Nice to meet you, Janae.
Nice to meet you.
I'm Hanae Belser. I am a programming intern for Nifty this year, and we are here with Janae Kelly, the director and writer of The River. Janae, can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yes. So my name is, like I said before, Janae Kelly. I was born and raised right in Memphis, Tennessee. That's also where I'm based, and that is where The River was filmed. I am a multidisciplinary artist, so I dabble in poetry, prose, photography, film, and now I'm getting into textiles as well. And all of my art stems from trying to kind of like replicate a Black Southern experience, invoking the memories of like my family, friends, my ancestors, showing Black people like in different lights on screen, and just experimenting with like the receptions of like Black culture, of like the different branches that we have.
That's amazing. What kind of textiles are you into?
Right now, I am learning how to quilt. Wow. My maternal grandmother, who's a big inspiration for a lot of my work, was taught to quilt by her grandmother, and she has now decided that it is time for her grandchildren to learn. So,
well, good luck with that. I know it's not easy. Can you give us a short summary of The River?
Yes. So The River is an experimental take on sexual violence. It is basically a poem to my experience, to my mother's experience, my grandmother's experience, my friend's experience of being both Black and woman and violated all at the same time. And on the surface, it's kind of positioned as a community's response to a young girl dying. But then you'll realize that like dying is not necessarily being dead, but just having a new life after something has changed you so drastically that you are now a new person.
Oh, that gives me so much context. That's a beautiful film you've made, and
thank you.
I have so many questions. I've been fangirling. My first question, it addresses something you said. I want to know, are you a poet that makes film, or are you a filmmaker that happens to write poetry? Like, how do you see?
I am most definitely a poet that makes films.
Okay.
Even in my like first narrative that I wrote, it's called Kiss Me Softly. Just the descriptions of like the actions and stuff like that, it feels like an actual poem, or at least that's how it's been described to me. So, and I first came into art as a poet, as a writer, so I just don't know any other way to be.
Great answer. Okay, what inspired you to make The River? You spoke about your family's mm-hmm. experience and your experience, to like dig a little deeper into that. Like, did you see a piece of media that was like sparked your creative juices to make this film, or was it just familial and something you needed to get out?
I most definitely think it started off more familial. It started off more of it stemmed from a conversation talking to my grandmother, just about her experience of growing up like in rural Memphis and like northern parts of Mississippi, and how a lot of the time she has to tell us stories like in blanks, just because she fears triggering herself, or even just like in a sense of like re-traumatizing herself. And like, we don't necessarily call it like PTSD, but that's most definitely what it is. Yeah. And so I kind of wanted to pay homage to that feeling of like wanting to connect with somebody, wanting to tell somebody your story, but being so afraid and like so traumatized that like you just can't get the words out. Ooh, also the second part of your question.
Yes.
Obviously, if you have seen Daughters of the Dusk, you know that I am very, very inspired. I watched that movie like once a month, or just like specific scenes from it. That, and as well as a lot of Black art, like, what is it called? It's called The Processional. I cannot think of the artist's name right now, but it's called The Processional. It's that like Black painting with like all of the... Yeah, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. So, yeah. It's like a Black creation, recreation of the Moses Partner of the Sea mm-hmm. or something. Oh, that's beautiful.
Yeah.
So art and film inspire your practice.
Yes.
That's amazing. I was going to say, this movie puts me in the mind of Daughters of the Dust and Ease by You.
Yes.
It really, I wrote in my notes when I was watching your film that it just, like, I think this is the first film I've seen that brings the Southern Gothic and Black women into, like, Gen Z. So,
yes.
It's very amazing. Everybody watch it when you have a chance. But do you watch a lot of experimental film?
Yes and no.
Okay.
I love experimental films, and I love talking to experimental filmmakers. Mm-hmm. Just because, like, we're all out searching for, like, how do we capture an emotion? Like, how do we put a feeling, like, on the big screen? And just the experimental block for this year's Nifty has just been phenomenal. The one, I think it was called, I Hope You Remember This Moment. And it's about, like, a daughter's, like, recollection with her, like, father's illness and, like, how will she remember him and things like that. And that's also something that I've kind of been dealing with in my own work. So just being able to see, like, somebody else, like, pulling from, like, family connections and, like, pulling from, like, the personal and creating an experience that is so unique to them that it, like, it expands beyond, like, its own, like, uniqueness and becomes, like, this universal thing. Like, to be able to capture that emotion of, like, this is my family and this is how we feel, is just so amazing to me. So that's one of, like, my main motivations for watching experimental films. I also meditate a lot.
Okay.
And so with meditation, they ask you, like, have to ground yourself in, like, very different kind of, like, circumstances. So, like, I have sat more in nature, and so that's why, like, you see a lot of, like, greens and, like, you see actual scenes in nature, just because this is where I feel the most comfortable talking about, like, these very dark experiences by bringing them really out into the light and kind of, like, I don't know, like, just honoring how I felt in those moments of being scared, but also coming to, like, a place of, like, not, I wouldn't necessarily say peace, but just of, like, familiarity of, like, yeah. I now understand myself in a way. Yeah. I feel like that was a very long answer to your question.
Because I go into that a little later, but it gives me something to go back to. Okay, I was gonna ask you, what's your favorite movie you've seen so far at Nifty this year?
Oh my gosh, what is my favorite movie? I have so many. Can I list more than one?
Yeah, sure.
Most definitely, I Hope You Remember This Moment. I loved As You Are.
Oh, yeah, that was amazing.
Grump in the Night is fantastic. Also, Earth's Second Moon. Mm-hmm. I love the song. I most definitely, when I get on the plane, I'm going to rewatch it. I'm trying to think, how can I forget Paloma?
Oh my gosh.
Paloma is fantastic. And just being able to, like, at the Q&A and, like, hearing them speak and stuff like that, and, like, just seeing an amazing team and, like, a team made of, like, a majority Black women.
Yes.
Which, you know, as, like, Black women in film, we are very few and far in between.
We are.
And so I just loved being able to, like, see that's something that's telling a story very similar to how I'm telling a story, and, like, to know that, like, Black women were behind centering it back to, like, the Black woman. I just feel like that is just so special. Shout out to the team of Paloma.
I'm glad you got to see Paloma, because that was my other favorite film, and she is also a Black Southern female filmmaker. Is that your favorite part of filmmaking, like, being Southern and telling Southern stories?
Yes. I think the Southern way of storytelling is just so unique. And then, like, just the fact that, like, the Black way of Southern storytelling is also very rooted in, like, our environment and in our ancestry. Like, I really feel like I really do my best to try to encompass the storytelling that, like, I grew up on, of, like, the way that I have heard stories about my past family members or about, like, my parents, like, the way that I will sit with my sisters and tell them stories, the way that I will sit with my friends and tell them stories, and, like, stories being a way that, like, connects us and entertains us in a way that is so true to who we are as, like, a people and what we can offer as a culture. So, yeah. I love being from the South.
Me too. Like, it took me a while to love it, but Now I do. So the narration you give to the river mm-hmm. is really an oral history, and that is very Black and very Southern. What made you think of that? Like, you have this great visual in the background, but this beautiful narration over it. Like, how did you come up with that thought mm-hmm. process?
So I wrote The River as a short story before I even thought about making it into a film. I wrote The River like right around the time that I finished working on my second short film called Kinfolk. And that one is also narrated by, or not also, but that one is narrated by my maternal grandmother, Bernice Lott. So just like coming from like, I am telling like Black Southern stories, and like who else to base your Black Southern stories off of other than your grandmother. Right. I kind of like tapped into a bit of her voice when like coming to write of The River. And then as I went through college, because I'm an English major, because I'm a writing nerd, but coming back to it and like reworking it, like I've always had these images in my head. I just never thought about getting them out. Like, I thought that these would be things that lived on a page, but when I got the opportunity to make a movie, like the first thing that came was like the image that you see of them kind of like standing in a line with their hands on each other and turning, like, immediately popped into my head. And I was like, that is something that I need the world to see. The world must live in my world. So that's kind of like where it came from.
That is my favorite shot of the film, where they're all in a line and one arm is on the next person's shoulder.
Yes.
And then they turn. Oh, yes. Wow.
Somebody actually asked about that at my Q&A, and I could not think of the word line up for the life of me. So I accidentally called them witnesses. And I just want Nifty to know, like, the kids at Nifty, please, I know what a lineup is, y'all.
Well, that's even more powerful. Like, we're all a witness to each other's trauma sometimes. And
yeah.
That's kind of how this film made me feel. Can you describe your casting process for The River?
My casting process for The River was very, very, very hard, because I only had 2 days to shoot it all. And so I wanted to use the most of those 2 days. So I would need people who would be available in the middle of a day on a Thursday. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, like, people have to go to work, and like kids have to, I think at that time I shot in the summer, so like kids were going to summer camp and things like that, so it was a little hard. But how I overcame it was I asked a lot of family members and a lot of friends. I had one of my producers, or actually both of my producers, Amanda Willoughby and Joseph Carr, who are both connected with the Indie Memphis Film Festival, had them like call in some favors and things like that. And I had wrote a poem. And in that poem, I said, all my niggas live forever around here. And so that line is like what influences a lot of my work. So if I can use like people that are actually like from my community, that are a part of my circles and things like that, that are my family, that are my friends in my work about community, then I'm going to do it. And I'm going to do it every time. So a lot of it, a lot of the people in there are actually like my cousins. Like a lot of the kids are actually like my little cousins. One of the elder ladies is my actual like great aunt. One of them is a lady from my church. And then like a couple of, one of them is actually my producer as well. Amanda. And so and then also like my dad is like a Freemason, so like he called some of his like friends that are like Eastern Stars and be like, hey, do y'all have any kids that y'all can like spare and things like that. So yeah, it was very much a community effort.
Yay.
Oh, and Alana Hayes, who kind of like takes the role as the protagonist towards the end of it, is a very dear friend of mine. She was the star of like my very first like film that I got like money for the Indie Memphis Crew Up program, Sugar. Sugar is not a good movie, but it is a movie that we made nonetheless. But she was a star in it, and ever since then, like, whenever I need somebody, I'll be like, Alana, when are you in town again? Like, are you available at this time? And she'll be like, girl, yeah, I'll be there. Do I need to do my own makeup? And I'll be like, yeah.
That's powerful. If you didn't make Sugar, you wouldn't have made The River.
Yeah.
So that's amazing. You can tell that these are non-professional actors just because it feels so real and mm-hmm. lived in. What is it like to work with non-professional actors? And you had a lot too. So how was it directing them? Was it easier or harder than like a professional actor?
I most definitely think it was easier because I do not see myself as a professional filmmaker either. Okay. So I'm like, we're both inexperienced and we're doing this together. So I think my hardest scene to actually shoot was with like all professional actors. And it's the scene towards the end where you have like the mother, father, daughter trio in their dining room and things like that. Like that scene was actually the hardest to shoot. And I'm very glad that I had experience in professional actors in it because that was one of the scenes that like I needed to pull the most emotion without like you actively having to say something like I needed to show on your face. Yeah. So I'm glad I had professional actors for that. But like working with like non-professionals it's very encouraging, at least for me, just because these people like wanted to work with me, like they wanted to take this time out to like come and be a part of something that, you know, they may not understand, but it makes me happy. And so to have so many people kind of like being in your corner made the experience so much easier. Directing kids as well is very hard because like you're trying to explain something and they just do not understand. They're just like, I just not have been alive that long to know what you're talking about. but I try my best to make them feel comfortable. So, yeah.
Okay. I like to ask everyone I meet this question. So, What is your favorite film of all time?
Oh, that's so hard because I don't have one. I'm sorry. I just cannot.
Do you have like a bunch or like you just don't like have a favorite?
I just don't have a favorite. Okay. I have like hyperfixations. So like my favorite might change every other. Actually, can I tell you my favorite right now?
Yes.
Okay, my favorite movie right now at this moment is Puss in Boots: The Last Wish. Because I was such a big fan of Puss in Boots the first movie and I grew up on Shrek, but I think Puss in Boots: The Last Wish is a very, 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 very special piece. Because it deals with the idea of morality and of like regret and what to do with your life when you're kind of like at the end of it, when like death is like all near. And I think that is so special to put in a children's film because like if you were a child like me, you knew death like your whole life. My grandparents died when I was like very young. And they die very close to each other. And so I've never been like strangers to funerals or the concept of like my own morality, which you can see is kind of like mind breaking for a 5-year-old to like have to go through that, but yeah. We made it. And so I think like watching Puss in Boots also kind of like deal with the anxiety of what it means to like be dead and to feel like death is like forever chasing you, and like in this like moment in time in my life where death feels so present due to like certain circumstances and things like that, I really connected with that orange cat in boots running from death and like choosing to get up and fight another day.
That is an amazing analysis of a children's film. So I really like your thought process. What piece of advice do you have for other Black women or girls who want to make a film, but they might not have a formal film education? Like you said, you're in English right now. Mm-hmm. Like you're not in film school, but you're making these amazing films in the South, which people are like, oh, you have to be in New York or LA, but you're making them in the South and it can't be done. What piece of advice would you share with someone else?
YouTube University is free 99. A lot of the stuff that I learned, I either had to teach myself or I used the resources. So I went to Cloud 901, which is a teen learning lab in the Central Library at Memphis. And so within that, like, that's how I learned to, like, make films and stuff like that. I learned how to make films in a library. And I don't have a formal film education, but I connect with people that do. And so, and also like not being afraid of like jumping in and learning new crafts. Like maybe sometimes you won't be able to like get a gaffer. So learning one, what that is, two, how to do it. Like sometimes you're gonna have to be your own DP. Like The River was the first time that I've ever worked with a DP. It's also the first time that I've ever like heard the term DP. Yeah. And so sometimes film is a business. And then sometimes film is an art. And now these things can, they can happen at the same time. But I guess like at this point in my life, I want to make films like poets want to write poetry, as something that can come so naturally and doesn't have to be of like ivory towered accepted type of knowledge of like, I mean, I'm from Memphis, so we're a very get it out the mud city. So yeah, that's what me and the other, like, and a lot of the other Black filmmakers do in Memphis. Like, we figure out how to do these things ourselves, and like we create our own opportunities, and we work these jobs just so we can, you know, put a little penny in our, like, you know, our budget piggy bank and stuff like that. So I would personally say make the stories that you want to see and not what other people expect you to see, and make sure that like that whatever you are doing and however you are doing it is making you happy. I had learned, I'm not late in life. I'm like 21, so I'm not dead. But if you have to let some things go to chase your own happiness, then do it. Because there has been a lot of, like, late nights that I haven't been able to, like, you know, go live the common college experience because I decided at 15 that I wanted to make films. And even though I'll be a little tired in the morning, I'll be happier than I ever would have been doing something that just didn't fulfill me.
That's amazing advice. So, what is next for you, Janae?
So, I am currently working on editing my first narrative, Kiss Me Softly. It is about a girl who has avoidant attachment style anxiety. And she is very, very scared of commitment and romantic love. And so, finding that out about herself. And also, like, it tackles answering this question of, like, is the you right now good for the people that you love? And kind of like, maybe sometimes you have to step away if you can't show up for other people in their life like you want or like you should. So that's what that's about. And then this summer I will be making a documentary about the legacy of Black women quilting in the Mid-South. So.
How can the nifty audience find you on social media and your work?
Okay. You can follow me on Instagram at For the Love of Janae. Janae spelled J-A-N-A-Y.
Thank you so much for being here, Janae.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening. For more information on Nifty 2023 or upcoming events, the talented youth, and more emerging films, check out nifty.org or find us on Facebook and Twitter at NFFTY or on Instagram and TikTok at Nifty Film. For more podcasts from Party Fish Media, search Party Fish Media wherever you listen to podcasts or check out our website at partyfish.media.
Party Fish Media acknowledges that it operates and records on Indigenous Duwamish and Puget Sound Coast Salish land that is still home to the Duwamish tribe. This land is stolen in violation of the Point Elliott Treaty of 1855. We are committed to uplifting the name of these lands and community members from these nations who reside alongside us. For more information on this land, its people, or ways you can help, visit duwamishtribe.org or realrentduwamish.org.